we're waiting for Commissioner Bassman to get to the table. It's hard to keep up with all these clocks.
Ooh, sorry.
You could join me for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before we get this meeting onto our agenda, Commissioner Noble will be excused from the meeting today. The first item on our agenda is I need a motion to approve the agenda as stated if there's not any additions.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
And moved and seconded.
Casey's not going to be here.
Correction then. Yeah. All right, we will turn my thing off. We'll approve the agenda if you amend the motion with deletion of item at 10 o'clock with Casey Lear talking about the flex time since he won't be here. And we'll move Chad Cooper up to 10 o'clock.
Understood. So okay. Moved.
Okay. Seconded, still stands.
Second.
Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Need a motion to approve the minutes from our prior meeting.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Any discussion? We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. All right, our next item, Billy, I think we have you on deck. And I think probably the first thing on your list that we'll take care of is those two resolutions.
Okay. And that'll work here, quick.
Yeah, so we have two resolutions we need to approve amending the speed limit. If I could have a motion.
Oh, we've got numbers on
them. Yeah, we've got numbers on them now.
Can we do them in one motion?
Yes, as long as you got the resolution.
Okay, Mr.
Numbers.
Chairman, I move we approve resolutions number 19-100372B and resolution 19-100373B, setting the official speed limits on Iroquois Lane and Meadowlark Lane in the Barger subdivision.
Okay.
Second.
Motion, second. Any discussion? Only comment I say, Billy, thanks for getting that back to us in a timely fashion and getting with the DOT to get it done. Good job.
Thank you.
Okay, now, I think you have some other business.
We need to vote.
Oh, we didn't vote? I thought we voted.
No, had a motion and a second.
Oh, should we vote?
Yeah, let's vote.
Who wants to vote? Anybody not vote for it? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Stay with him, George.
Thanks for the help.
Yeah, we'll keep you on.
Stay with him. Just because you got here late.
Stay with him.
All righty. Well, you guys got my activity report. It's kind of changed a little bit now. We're kind of just in snow mode. Storms kind of hit, but we're doing good, getting everything, getting snow catchers in now, getting everything ready for the next storm. Broom Bridge, that's, I know.
Yeah, I was just going to give you guys a project update on Cottonwood Ryegrass. We're working through the design and getting ready to send it off to the Corps to get their permission on everything for as far as wetlands go. And we're right up against the limit of not needing to do any mitigation at all, but I'm going to get some clarification from the people that wrote the wetland report, just to make sure we're all on the same page. But worst case, we'll stay under that half-acre limit, so we'll be able to just do mitigation within the right-of-way if it comes up. So getting ready to send that out this week, hopefully. And
so you're anticipating getting a formal decision from them?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. We'll get approval before we send it out, the plans and everything.
Right. Looking really good.
Yep, but it looks like we shouldn't have any problems needing to find a mitigation site or doing all that stuff. And then there's a couple 90-degree curves that I'm talking to landowners to see if they'd be open to putting in a more gentle curve. And I haven't heard back. I've heard back from one of them, but I haven't heard back from the other. We're just working through that. And if they approve, then I'd bring it to you guys and see if you'd be willing to go through with the alignment change. But they're just putting in a little better curves is all we're looking at.
So the one you heard back from was positive?
Yep, he was all for it. So, but his land wasn't affected as much, but it really doesn't, because the people own land on both sides of the road, so it's not going to affect them a whole lot. But okay. It's progressing along, and keep plugging away.
And on waste management?
Waste management, HDR is finally doing their internal review, and it'll go to David this month, so we're still on pace to get it approved by the spring.
So that's good.
Yes.
HDR.
Yeah, they're the landfill consultants that we teamed up with to do that permit modification. Yeah. So there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Are these the people that'll let us go up?
That's that major change. We still need to talk to the guy about getting us that extra cell on the one we have. But
and he's still going to come out and make a site visit.
That's what we're told.
I just really think when he gets out here and looks that. I can't imagine, because the cell right next, we can go up double what we are right now. So I don't understand.
It just seems like a no-brainer.
And the way our slopes are and stuff.
And we're only asking for one more tier, which will grant us another 3 or 4 years, which means a lot when you're putting in line cells and spending all that money.
Lots of money. So hopefully. Other than that, unless you guys have any questions, that's really all I have.
I have none. Commissioners?
Let's hope the wind don't blow so much.
Yeah.
It's got to complicate things a little.
A little bit. Yeah. Some areas did blow pretty good, you know. It was kind of all hands on there for a day or two, but we got her managed. So.
Well, sounds like things are going good.
I can't complain.
As long as we don't get snow like that every day.
Every day, that would change things a little bit.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a personal comment for a moment
about sure.
Billy and his road crew. I can't imagine a better crew out there, Billy, for the circumstances you operate under. I know, at least speaking from our standpoint, I'm pretty damn happy to see you show up there when you do. So,
well, thank you. I mean, over the holiday and that, you know, them guys, you know, Thanksgiving and everything, they were out, you know, 4 a.m. till 10 and 11 at night. So none of them complained. So I was pretty impressed with them. So they're trying to do as good as they can. So
you're doing a good job.
Thank you. That's really all I have.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Billy.
You bet.
Question.
I was wondering, Billy, how the dumpster thing went Saturday.
Well, you know, Saturday was such a bad day. You know,
nobody did.
I know. I kind of monitored them and kept them clean. You know. I was in a motor grader, so I just kind of tried keeping them clean, and I had a guy checking on the piney one, and no one ever hit them. So I think it was just such the way the snow was. So, but yeah, no complaints.
Good day to be closed.
Yeah, it really was. Couldn't have timed that, but all right.
Okay, thanks, Billy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Billy.
Well, I guess we'll move forward. Matt, if you'd like to come forward and let's hear your requests, info, reports, all of the above.
All right. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Four items for your consideration today. The first two are requests for proposals. This was done at the direction of the commission, who last year expressed a desire to see both these contracts bid out. The first is for the owner's rep contract, which is currently held by Forsgrum. I've included the scope of work for that RFP, and then the second one is for road engineering services. That contract is currently held by Rio Verde Engineering. I've created a selection criteria where each submittal will be ranked, and that recommendation will be given to the commission for your consideration in terms of awarding the final contract. All bids are due by January 10th, so the thought is I will start the review process after that, and then by the January 21st meeting, you should have all the information you need to make the best decision in terms of awarding the contract. So I'll hold off on the telecommunications RFP for now, and I'd be happy to answer any questions on either of these RFPs the commission might have.
Mr. Chairman, no question. It just looked to me like you really did a thorough job of the language in that RFP, and we much appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
And I think just as a review, this is something that we discussed last January when, correct me if I'm wrong, and either in content or using the wrong words, I think we at that time extended a year contract to each of these with the understanding that in the upcoming year before the next contract that we would work on putting out RFPs for these.
That is my recollection, Mr. Chairman.
So I just want to, if anybody has any different thoughts, let me know, but I think that's what we had concluded in the direction that was we were working towards as of last year in January. So thanks for getting that done.
No problem. I'm sorry, any other questions on these two RFPs? Okay, the third RFP is for the telecommunications system currently in the county. I guess I'm not going to go into the numerous issues and problems that the county has had with its phone system, but I worked with Mike Christie, with Carrie, and with Sheriff Lear to develop this scope of work. Again, it's got a selection criteria along the lines of the other two RFPs. Bids will be due on January 10th, again with the intention that the commission can award that contract on January 21st, 2020. If you have any questions about the scope, I'll admit I'm not an IT telecommunications guru, but again, I feel like with the sheriff's input and with Mike Christie's input, we were able to put together and carry a detailed scope of work that vendors can submit bids to.
And this is on the same schedule as the other two.
It is. Mm-hmm. January 21st should be a busy meeting.
Remind us of that before we set the agenda.
Yeah.
Get your time allocation in.
Isn't that the day you leave to go to Cheyenne?
Is that the day?
That's what it was last year.
I think it's February this year.
Oh.
I think. Don't quote me. But I think it's February 13th. But there it is.
I can find out.
Yeah,
get on the WCCA website. It'll be posted by now. But I don't know.
You're right. We did go in January last year.
Mm-hmm.
But the weather's better in February.
Yeah. Especially
I-80.
Yeah. Okay. Would you mind, Mr. Chairman, if there are no issues or questions, to motion to vote to advertise these publicly, and then I can get those sent to the roundup and on the website.
Okay, so we would need a motion to advertise publicly the RFPs for the owner's rep, the road and engineering services, and the county telecommunications system.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? I'll call the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously, so we'll get that to the roundup.
Right. Thank you, sir. Final item for your consideration is the advertisement of the county health officer. I put together a public advertisement. The gist of it basically lays out the statutory duties of the CHO, and it calls for any interested applicants to submit a letter of interest and resume by 5 o'clock on January 10th, 2020, with the intent, again, of making that appointment on January 21st. I will be the point of contact for any questions or inquiries. I'll get this set up on the website and the roundup, just like the other three RFPs. And with that, I could answer any questions the commission might have about the advertisement.
Looks good.
Anybody have any questions about why this is being done or moving forward with this? You know, I think that once again we found ourselves in a situation where, and I preached it to the county attorney's office for help on this, but our county health officer as decided by the Attorney General in a July or January 2018 review in Sheridan County, is an appointed elected official. And in doing so, I think we need to follow that guideline and appoint a county health officer, because I don't think in recent times we have followed through on that appointment. The contract by statute is also for 4 years. So in line with our move towards transparency in a number of issues, I think if we're going to appoint a county health officer, we certainly ought to advertise to put it out to be able to receive applicants from all interested parties, and then we would be at liberty to review those and make a decision so then we can follow through and officially make an appointment to that position as a public official. That's the background.
For a four-year term.
For a four-year term, correct. So I would entertain a motion to advertise for this position of county health officer.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
That was motion and second. Any discussion? The only direction I would give if we approve this motion would be, Matt, that when you advertise it, please make sure that you get in touch with the current county health officer and tell him the process has changed or we're moving in that direction, so he will be fully informed that an application will be required.
Will do.
Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay.
Great.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, gentlemen. Do you have anything for me?
Mr. Chairman, one thing, I guess I had it under old business, but I included Matt on this discussion. We've had prior conversations about the need to have a facilitator to kind of get our forced collaborative moving at a better pace than it has been. The Forest Service believes they can come up. We're thinking about $10,000. The Forest Service says they think they can come up with five. At one time, Trish O'Connor said she could come up with five. Now they think they can come up with five. My preference would be for us to commit to 5,000, but at the same time, we have opportunity to apply for FNRPA funding to cover that cost. And my recommendation is that we approve $5,000 towards a collaborative, with the understanding that I put Mac in contact with the lady in the governor's office, Beth Calloway, that handles the FNRPA funding, and I'd heard back from her. She said whatever we do, sooner the better, that she wants us to get going on that, and I told her I would bring it up today at the meeting and see about getting approval to go forward with it. So.
Okay, so the request is for the money to be used as a facilitator for
to facilitate the several meetings of the Force Collaborative.
Okay.
We've got different options for a position to do that. I have yet to contact Jessica Western, who does that through Ruckels House Institute. She facilitated the startup of the Collaborative, and we were covered with FNRPA money to do that, where the cost was paid by the governor's office and the legislature that appropriates the funding to it. And but that ran out, and then since that time, Mike Hinn, who represents Conservation District on the Collaborative, somebody had to do it. He raised his hand, volunteered to do it, but it does take away from the district's ability to be as effective a member as a participating member, because Mike's tied up running the meeting. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is to free Mike up to where he can fully represent the conservation district. And we've had some issues with Forest Service in terms of follow-up after the meetings, getting information back, and been a facilitator, Forest Service, and I, as the county rep, think that that would help get that ball rolling again and move forward.
So the request at this time is it?
The request at this time would be to approve $5,000 available to facilitate the collaborative, and then I would put Matt in contact with Beth Calloway to apply for NERPA money, to apply for NERPA funding to cover that cost. And that way we're in a position to tell the Forest Service, we've got our commitment. Well, if we don't get the FNERPA money, we just pay it. If we get the FNERPA money, we save $5,000.
So we commit $5,000, but
we commit five.
But if FNERPA money comes through,
try and get it covered with FNERPA funding.
Okay.
So, Joel, what if the Forest Service doesn't come in with theirs? What happens?
We'll have that money on the table to do it, and then that would give us a choice. We either shorten the time frame. We could hire this person for shorter time. But I really think if we put the money on the table and say, you know, here's our share, let's move forward, I'm fairly confident they'll come up with it somehow. They have different options for availability.
So basically, if the project is going to require $10,000 and they don't, then it'll only be a $5,000 project to the county.
Well, unless I come back to this commission and we put more money in. But that would take another discussion to do that. For now, I think we put $5,000 on the table and see what it gets us. And I think it'll give us another five.
Mr. Chairman, my question would be for the banker. You got any? You got $5,000?
You have a line item for consultants.
Okay. Thank you. That's okay. And that's what that would be?
It would be.
Very good. Yeah.
So does somebody have a motion with that regard?
I would so move, Mr. Chairman, that we approve $5,000 to provide a facilitator for ARSH, 50% share of a facilitator for the Forest Collaborative, with the understanding that the Forest Service will come up with another five.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Matt, before you leave, I saw Dr. Johnson come in, and Dr. Johnson, I'm assuming you're here because we were had on our agenda to
advertise my job.
Advertise for my the job. County health officer's position. Yes.
First time in 40 years.
Well, that first time in 40 years?
Yeah.
Okay. I think the logic or the reasoning behind that is that the Attorney General, in a decision in January, ruled that the county health officer was an appointed elected official. And you may be able to supply us with that information, but I don't know that we have a record formally of the last time you were appointed.
Last year.
By whom?
Yes.
I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we appointed, we just approved the budget for the county health officer.
You signed the contract.
I understand that, but what has come forth is the fact that the county health officer is an appointed elected official. And just signing a contract, however we've done it in the past, we have to make a formal appointment. And if we're going to do that, then I think the process to go is advertise that position so we can make the appointment from any interested parties.
I will tell you how I interpret it. No matter whether you blame the Attorney General or who you want to put the responsibility on, after 40 years of this job, I interpret this as being fired, and you're putting it out for another application. So that's how, that's why I came down here, to let you know how I feel. I've been set up. I don't know who or what the situation is. You can blame the Attorney General. I don't believe that. I think it's local, and that's what I came down to express. So.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
No, you're not.
Excuse me?
No, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am. Because you're entitled to apply for the position. We don't know who's going to apply.
I don't really think I need to do that after 40 years.
Anybody got any comment? Look for some legal comment. Jenna?
I will just speak to what has come about since I became nurse manager in August. The state, as of July of last year, the state took this, chose to take this CHO signature line off of our state contract and ask the counties to individually contract with the CHO. So it's not a signatory on our state contract anymore. The CHO's responsible for deliverables, but the contract is between directly the county and the CHO. So that kind of stirred up a little storm of, we don't have a contract. And then Mike Crossan contacted me, and in a process, I think that's how this all kind of came about since I've been here, is just, we didn't have a signed contract by the CHO because it was taken off of that state contract as of July 1 this year. So that's where this has become a point where I think you guys are being asked to appoint someone. And per state statute, all the stuff that you said, but that's why it's kind of come up now, is because it's just a change, and it's happened in all the counties across the state, because all the nurse managers have like, we don't have a contract with our CHO that's signed, you know, we need our counties to get these contracts made up, and that's just happened since I've been here. So that's my two cents on that, but the process obviously is different this year because of that.
Well, in addition, with that process, reviewing the statute, it calls for that contract mm-hmm. to be awarded for a four-year period.
Yep.
It's not on a year-to-year basis.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm saying, Dr. Johnson, is that we need to have a formal record of that appointment, because I don't think we can find that.
1960.
Well, I was going to say, be polite and say in the last 20 years.
1960.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Crossan, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Only one thing, Mr. Chairman. There is actually a contract with the state as well, because if we're going to get that grant from the state, we're obligated to go with all the requirements set forth in that Schedule A that is attached to the county contract. So if we're going to accept that money, we do have all those obligations set forth under the state contract. So if they're, in essence, I guess, two contracts incorporated into one. There's the county, and then if we're going to do that, we have to abide by all those requirements set forth by the state to receive that money.
Okay. Commissioners?
One of the requirements in that contract is that I have $1 million worth of liability insurance for the last 39 years. I was told by whichever board was sitting there that I was an employee of the county, this is a quote, an employee of the county and covered by their liability insurance. Now, when I was working, I had adequate insurance to cover that, but I'm not working now other than this job. And so that needs to be cleared up.
I agree with you there, because reading the statute appears that as an appointed elected official, you...
No, not elected. I don't run on any election.
Or not an appointed public official. Excuse me. Appointed public official. You are still considered a public employee and would be covered under that. So I agree with you. Whatever language is in the Department of Health contract probably needs to be looked at as well.
Well, Mike's been looking at it. We had a couple of discussions about it. He's as confused as I am.
Well, this all came about this year when the Department of Health decided to change the some of the requirements in the funding for the county health officer, and with those changes came some contractual obligations. But nonetheless, in looking at this, a county health officer in a county that does not have a county health department has to be appointed by the county commissioners for a term of 4 years. That's what we're looking at.
What's that have to do for me applying to my job again?
If we're going to appoint a county health officer, I think we have to advertise for interested parties, select the applicant, and make the appointment.
You do that for the waste disposal system?
It's not the same thing.
Why not?
Well, those people directly work for us. They're paid entirely by us. And in this situation currently, as opposed to what it was last year, the county health officer is paid partially by the county, but the rest of it is paid for by a grant that comes from the Department of Health.
The only reason that the Department of Health grant comes here, this is historical, is because your predecessors refused to accept that grant, and I was paid completely by the county.
Right.
And I think the feds or the state or whoever pressured the commissioners to accept this, but I still get, my check is in two parts.
Correct.
One from the county and one from the
Department
of Health.
Right.
So I don't understand your logic, to tell you the truth. Okay. I think your logic is working your way so you can put the job up for application. That's what I think, and you're not going to change my mind, Dave.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, I feel that way pretty strongly. I also found out about it yesterday afternoon, that somebody told me at the post office, you know your job's up for bid? No. Really nice public relations fellows.
Well, in that regard, Dr. Johnson, this was a...
My name's Tom. You don't need to go that way.
Okay, Tom. In that regard, this was put on the agenda for the commissioners to take action on whether or not we wanted to advertise for it. Once that decision is made, then as we previously stated, directed Matt Gaffney to contact you with that. It was premature to do it prior to this because we haven't proceeded with the business nor passed the motion. What was put on the agenda was the agenda item to approve advertisement of that position. Having said that, that motion could have been voted down because it could not have been approved. So I'm not apologizing for not sounding the alarm on something we haven't decided to do. And the direction was made immediately upon passing the motion to advertise to notify you immediately, and that direction was given to Matt Gaffney. To do so prior to that would imply that we had already made up our mind in terms of this decision, when in fact this is the first time we've discussed it. The first time.
I appreciate your lengthy explanation. I think I'll just leave now.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. So, Matt, I guess we are finished. You have anything else? Anything else for Matt?
No, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Matt. Would you like to take a break?
Yeah, we need to take a break. We got a long way to go before 10 o'clock.
Yeah, so that's up next.
I might even take a cup of coffee.
Mr. Chairman, very well done.
Difficult.